Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, welcome to The Guinea Pig. I'm Dr. Maryam Zamani, an oculoplastic surgeon and aesthetic doctor.
And I'm Fiona Golfer, a writer and journalist. I'm no stranger to a cosmetic procedure, and I'm willing to try pretty much anything.
Which is why I'm here, to make sure Fiona and anyone else that's out there considering a treatment to help make a better informed decision safely and to try and collect as much information as they can.
If you're looking for an honest, no-holds-barred approach to invasive and non-invasive cosmetic surgery,
then The Guinea Pig is here to help you. Hi, and thanks for joining us in the clinic for another episode of The Guinea Pig.
I'm laughing because every time we start to record this podcast, Marianne whips out a little box of something, which has generally got a very crispy apple or something in it, and starts chewing away as if no one
can hear it.
So then we wait until she's finished her apple.
I'm finished, by the way, guys.
Finished. You need to gargle or anything?
No.
You're fine. So, hi, everybody. And it seems to be still January. Such a long month and a couple of weeks into a new decade. And I thought we could look at some of the things that people seem to be really talking about at the moment. And I've been very immersed, actually, for a piece that I've been writing about clean beauty. And we thought it would be fun to get my friend and real mother, Nicola Moulton, who I worked with for a very long time at Vogue, who I can't even kind of buy a tube of toothpaste without consulting with Nicola, should I, shouldn't I? When I start talking about clean beauty, I become very evangelical about all the things that I happen to be writing about just in that very moment. Nicola kind of makes lots of poo-poo-y noises about it. So I thought we could discuss it and have a kind of, you know, we could have a row on air.
On air?
About clean beauty, and Marianne can separate.
Thanks. Thank you for coming.
Well, thanks for having me. So excited to actually have the conversation that we're always having, not on a podcast, on a podcast.
On a podcast.
I know, it's amazing.
The logical thing. So, Nicola, why don't we just kind of jump right in there? Because I'm looking at Marianne, who has, you have your own beauty range, Marianne. And I would say that that clearly doesn't fall into the category of
clean
beauty.
That's debatable. Yeah? So that's the big problem. What is the definition of clean? There is no definition of clean. What is your take on what clean is? If you were looking at a beauty brand, just as
a,
I'm looking at you because you know.
She's looking at me like with that look on her face as well, by the way.
Well, Nicola has a little bit more information, so I'd like to ask you as the one who would just, you know, like when you see something that says clean beauty, what do you think? I know what I think.
Okay, I've come to this relatively recently because I would basically open any jar or bottle that somebody told me was going to make my skin look better, and I don't really care what's inside it.
As long as it worked.
As long as it works, yeah. I don't really think very ethically, but recently I think across everything we're being asked to look at, you know, the clothes we wear on our back, the skin we put on our face, the food that we ingest. And so I think that times have changed, and kicking and screaming, I have to kind of look a little bit, and I might like some things, I might not. So I think that the definition of clean beauty is that clean beauty doesn't include anything you can't pronounce. Okay, that's roughly speaking. So that are, Nicola, you're going to say the words
things
because,
like,
yes.
Parabens and phthalates and sodium lauryl sulfate and all of those kind of things.
Yeah, exactly that.
I mean, I think it's interesting that you guys
scent.
Are kind of already, you know, the the problem is, what is clean beauty? There's no definition of it. So some of the big beauty retailers like Sephora in the States have started kind of crafting a definition and saying, we think that clean means this, or we're not going to include any products that have X, Y, and Z in them.
Yes.
Brands like Drunk Elephant have something that they call the Suspicious Six, which are six ingredients that they say, we're not going to include these, but it may be that in the future, it turns out when there's more information about them, it's okay, in which case we will include them. But at the moment, we're kind of erring on the side of caution, whatever that means. But one of my real problems with the phrase clean beauty is that I think that it implies that everything else is somehow dirty or not good for you. And that's my real problem with it, because I think I'm all for going the natural route or using plant ingredients or whatever, but it doesn't mean that the other stuff is not okay. And that's where I think we're heading as a beauty industry.
I agree. I think it's almost like you're labeling something and it's only clean or nothing really. And I don't necessarily think that that's true. I mean, even parabens, there are good parabens and bad parabens. I don't have any parabens in my products either, but not necessarily because I think that they're terrible. It's just because the education for the consumer thinks that it is terrible, and therefore I just have gone a different route. It doesn't necessarily even mean the ingredient that I used instead of the paraben is a better ingredient. It might be that that hasn't been studied long enough to even know that that might have a negative side effect.
Is that quite frustrating, though?
That is.
When you're formulating products that you're
very difficult,
having to almost navigate the ingredients according to kind of misinformation. I was thinking today, actually, when I was reading the news, that actually it's a bit like fake news.
Yes.
So we're told all this stuff as if it's truth, and actually nobody's really questioning it. We're just kind of accepting it, but actually the people that do the actual research into it often realize that things like parabens, as you say, they're just really good preservatives. I'd rather have that than a product crawling with bacteria.
That's cool. That's for sure. That's for
speaking
sure too.
Of the bacteria, so in clean beauty, I was wondering, when I was sort of researching the subject that I know nothing about, how long, so I know that so much of what you have in kind of scientific beauty and brands and the kind of brands that you know so much about have got sort of their shelf life or how long they can last. Is it not something that can be complementary?
Definitely.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I need to be a convert, even though I think we live in an age where people think that converting is going to make them feel,
yes,
as
better.
We were saying earlier, well, mind and body. You know, it's like the people that I spoke to about the clean beauty movement, which hopefully they're going to come on the show quite soon. It was Naomi Watts I was writing about, who's opened a kind of clean beauty store. Naomi personally felt that she was on a sort of, you know, she was in her mid-40s, she was working on a show, she was getting rosacea every time, she was putting makeup on and off all day long, she was feeling hormonal and tired and her skin was screaming, leave me alone. And so she went on a kind of clean journey where she started by using probiotics and taking powders for her gut, and slowly, slowly she eliminated all the chemicals from her skincare, and for her, she saw a result. Now, that might be psychosomatic.
And I think that's great. And I think, as you say, there's a place for both. I was thinking to put it in sort of realms that you might embrace, Fiona. For example, you might want to wear something like Mariam today is wearing her fabulous technical, you know, running shoes and fitness wear. So you might want to wear a great pair of Nike trainers one day, and then you might want to wear your kind of granola munching Birkenstocks your next day. That's fine. You
don't have
to just choose one or the other. I also think about it like going into the Apple store, and you're so kind of like taken with this, oh, it's all so clean and modern and shiny and technology's amazing and all of this stuff. You don't go in there and go, oh, I wish we still had phones with wires, and I wish we still had typewriters. Like, we all embrace technology and science.
We do also sometimes think, I wish we could go back to wooden toys.
Well, we definitely
do. Which is sort of
do.
What I feel.
Exactly.
The clean
movement. But we can have
both. Yeah, I agree.
Well, I also wanted to bring up the study that talked about parabens in human breast tissue. So this was a study that was published in 2012, and it showed, you know, 40 mastectomies that were done for primary breast cancer patients in the UK between 2005 and 2008. And it showed that in a large percentage of those women, there was a specific kind of paraben that was prevalent there. Now,
The problem is with these studies is we don't know what amount they were exposed to. We don't know if it was past accumulation of this paraben or whether it was an acute introduction. We don't know whether it was topical, whether it was ingested. We actually have no idea where that comes from. And so I think the problem here is that we just don't know. Yes, it is unfortunate that in that very small study that these women had this type of paraben present in a tissue that had breast cancer.
And would that paraben potentially come from
face? It could potentially, probably not from face. It was probably, it could have come from, for instance, the thing is we don't know. It could have been something that
we
ingested in anything that is preserved, anything that's preserved. So deodorant, in our food, I mean, like really pretty much anything. And the problem is you don't know what the cause and effect is. Do we have more accumulation in there because that person had breast cancer? Or is it because of numerous accumulation to this particular product? But for instance, it showed some of those women who had this never even used, for instance, deodorant, which would be one of the early, what would be the most logical, because in proximity to the breast, that's where it would go.
And I think what's so interesting about that is that it shows that the data and the results and the clinical proof is really important to knowing whether that's actually, you know, whether parabens are good or bad. And that's one of the things I think about skincare that has got science and clinical proof behind it, is that you kind of know what you're getting. You know, when I was a beauty director for all that time, one of the things that used to really motivate me was that just I didn't want people wasting their money and having these drawers full of products that they'd kind of half used and then been a bit disappointed by, especially when some of these things cost hundreds of pounds. So actually things where you can say decreases wrinkles by X amount or increases cell turnover by X, or that you can have that sort of that level of proof that at least makes you feel like, okay, well, it's going to do something, even if it's not as much as I hoped, or, you know, whatever it is. I don't know. I just feel like I'm motivated by that kind of proof.
I think proof is really great. I think what the problem here is there's a very large gray zone. And because there's no standard definition, even things that are considered clean have chemicals in them. So if it's going to last in your cupboard for more than a week, then it has some sort of preservative, which means it has some sort of chemical in it. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be worse for you than something that you just mix up and put on your face.
Even all those sort of oils that come in the glass bottles.
Essential oils are slightly different. However, you know, the one thing that is interesting, because I do have my skincare line and I know a little bit about it, is that artificial fragrances, for instance, are less likely to be, I don't want to say allergic, but people are less likely to have a reaction to synthetic fragrances than they do with essential oils. It's more likely that those natural fragrances cause more irritation than the synthetic ones.
And that's the other thing. I think people hear science and they think it means harsh.
Yes.
And in fact, the opposite can often be true.
Absolutely. So I find that really, so for me, I it's all about the education. You know, like I stay away from those nasty six, quote unquote, mainly because I can't change the way everybody thinks. I can't re-educate everybody right now. And so I'm not hopping on the bandwagon to say, you know what, this is what I believe. But until we have better one studies to be able to see a cause and effect, and bigger, larger studies, you know, 40 people may sound like a lot, but in actual terms of, you know, clinical trials, it's not really a very large number. So we need more research. We need more definitive endpoints. And then we can make an educated response to this. But in the meantime, I have stayed away from them because of this sort of trend that people are on. And it's actually a good trend. You know, like I believe in sustainability. I believe in, you know, helping the environment. I have a lot of those ethos from the very beginning when I started my brand. But I don't think you can negate. Some of the best ingredients are the ones that are prescription strength, and they're definitely chemicals, you know, so.
Nick, I read something that you wrote. I don't even know if it's been published because we read each other's, but so we can just talk loosely around it. Okay. You were very excited about the sort of scientific leaps that are being made in skincare at the moment. Can you maybe give us just a sort of you don't have to name any brands, but just sort of a little bit of an outline of what those discoveries you made were?
Well, what I'm quite excited about is that, being a big believer in all this stuff, is that for every action, there's a reaction, right? And alongside all this clean stuff, there's a whole kind of groundswell of interest in super scientific ingredients and breakthroughs. So, and actually, it really started with that brand, The Ordinary, I think, who did such a clever thing by separating out a lot of science
ingredients.
Yeah, sciencey sounding ingredients, and having them all in little individual bottles so that then you would kind of mix and match. And actually, what it did was, as well as kind of democratizing that whole kind of scientific skincare in a way, because they're all kind of £5 or £6 each, but obviously you end up having to buy about 8, and so then it costs about the same as a
face. How do you know what to use? Somebody's telling you what you need for your skin specifically.
The nice thing about that one is that it says, it has the ingredient, and it says good for this.
Yeah, okay. But what it's done, which is quite interesting, is it's really made kind of those ugly sounding chemistry GCSE ingredients kind of sexy again in the beauty world. And so, you know, a few years ago, if you wrote superoxide dismutase on a bottle,
you wouldn't have looked at it.
I definitely don't want that. And now you think that sounds so hideous. I definitely want it. So there's a kind of backlash against the sort of, you know, the made up rides, as I call them. I think it's a good thing that we're moving away from that whole sort of contains Tahitian jasmine that only blooms at 3 a.m. and it's going to give your skin a lovely bloom like a pet. Like, nobody needs that anymore. We just want to know, what, as you say, what's going to work. So the kind of sciencey thing, and then there's a really big movement on Twitter with all these skincare formulators. I regularly get lost in threads of these skincare formulators arguing vehemently about the difference between glycerin and hyaluronic acid and all of that stuff. And it's kind of fascinating.
I want to know this Twitter. You need to hook me up after.
Yeah, we'll put some accounts.
Exactly.
I don't know. It just feels exciting to me that there's so many discoveries and so many breakthroughs.
But I mean, when I finished reading your piece, I thought, oh my God, we're all going to look 20 when we're 80, because there are such amazing innovations being made, really, aren't there?
There are. And one of
anti-aging.
Yes. And I think one of the biggest things that we're discovering is actually how much difference you can make yourself. So it's not just about the cream. So the cream can take you so far, but actually what we're discovering is much more about how well you're looking after yourself, how hydrated you are, what your diet's like, whether you live in a really polluted environment, how stressed you are, all of that stuff. And I feel like as we learn more and more about that, it's actually going to make the effects that you can get from your face cream even
because
better.
I do feel that it does start. I mean, I agree with Naomi Watts. It does start with the gut. For me, definitely, my skin starts with my gut. So, you know, I take probiotics. I take Simprove every morning, but there are all sorts of other really interesting probiotics you can be taking at the moment. And I feel that if I start with that, then what I put on from the outside is almost kind of the added benefit. But do you disagree?
Well, yes. I don't disagree, but I just think, I don't know whether you've read anything, Marion, but I feel like there's a lot of talk about skin's microbiome, but actually there's not really anything. I mean, I don't think they've even discovered all the trillions of bacteria that's on there, let alone know how to treat them.
I mean, if you think about it, the human body is like the slickest machine ever. You've got so many different million parts and everything is obviously interconnected. How it's interconnected, we might not necessarily know, but we know that it is. And I think some of what you feel is you have to be in tune with your body. I always say you have to trust your intuition a little bit too. So of course, there's a lot of great skincare products out there. You try them. If they suit you, then you keep using them. And if you don't find that they suit you, it's okay to change and try something else. But I do think the gut biome will come out and have even more impact in the future in terms of skin. How to make that uniform for everybody is a different story, because I think that's where all the, you know, there's a big variability from you feed to me. So, and in terms of our diet, in terms of what our genetic makeup of what we can and cannot have. So, I mean, I think that's going to be a little trickier to do and to make it for the masses. But I do think that that is going to be part of the horizon of medicine in general.
Although Dove now have microbiome friendly on their packaging.
Do they?
Yeah.
For the body, for cleansing?
I think for the bar soap.
Interesting. Mm.
And that's another thing. I think sometimes we think that to really access good science, you have to spend a lot of money. And oftentimes it's those huge multinationals that have access to $1 billion R&D.
Yes.
And sometimes these things, the breakthroughs...
That's research and development out there.
the ingredients pop up in places where someone like Avon, they spend more money, I think, than anyone else, or they did back in the day, on research and development. So they were the first people to use AHAs, and they were the first people to develop this cream that stops the sort of plateau effect after 3 months, and all of that kind of stuff, all like CoQ10, Nivea's big anti-aging ingredient. Pound for pound, it's probably one of the best anti-aging ingredients still that we have generally.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I have CoQ10 when I had my infusion with Catherine. She uses CoQ10 intravenously.
It's a really good anti-aging molecule.
Yeah. Nivea still uses it in their body moisturizer.
Yeah.
My husband's a big Nivea fan, by the way.
Yeah.
He uses MZ Skin and then Nivea.
Yeah.
He likes the two.
Good
and
combination.
I actually use sometimes the body moisturizer from Nivea with the CoQ10 too. So indeed, you can go high and low.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's really important. Things like Olay, good peptides. There's a lot of good, solid, science-based skincare out there.
What do you think is the best innovation for 2020 that you've come across? I'm sure you get to see it before a lot of others, us lay people out there.
So one of the products that has actually been out for about a year, but they're just coming out with a lot of research, is this Chanel cream. It's like a kind of serum cream, but they've done a lot of work around senescence, which is a huge sort of growth area of science. I feel like it will be like genetics. It will be like kind of understanding how DNA works, and it's just kind of at that point now where people are starting to learn about it and hear about it. And it's essentially to do with the way cells die off in your body, and so it's the aging process that affects everything, all the degenerative diseases from cancer to things like Alzheimer's and all of those kind of diseases. And actually it has a big impact on skin aging, and they've done a lot of research with a university about the way that these cells die off in the skin, and also identified an ingredient to kind of to stop the process. And I was really impressed with that research. So I'm looking forward to seeing that come out.
Amazing, me too.
I also think that there'll be a lot more strides around pollution. I don't know whether
you
think the same.
We're working on anti-pollution as well.
What does that mean, anti-pollution? What's it going to do?
So, you know, antioxidants are a way to be anti-pollutant. So there's basically pollution causes the breakdown of every molecule, and it causes free radicals to float around, which are aging, not just to your skin, but to your organs and to pretty much everything. And so you want to get some ingredients that are going to eat up those free radicals that are doing damage. So whether it's caused by the blue light that's coming from my computer or my iPhone screen to walking out in polluted London. Who was it that told me recently that studies have shown in London, which is horrible, that if you had an accumulation of pollution that you're supposed to be exposed to within a year, you have that exposure in London, depending on where you are in London, within the first week of every new year.
No.
Just to give you an idea, and it's only getting worse. So, I mean, I have not fact verified that, but even if it was exaggerated, it's a lot, you know, just in terms of the environmental stressors that we have. And then put that on top of our busy lives and our own emotional stressors that are happening. You really do need ingredients that are going to counteract that, one, not only for aging on the outside, but aging on the inside. And so I think antioxidants, obviously, anything that's rich in antioxidants, whether it's food or topicals, are always going to give you a little boost.
So this is one area where I wonder about the clean versus synthetic, say, ingredients, because I just feel like if our environment is increasingly toxic,
How good are the products that we're going to get from them?
Can we really counteract all of that modern day stresses with old ingredients like plants, or are we going to have to develop these molecules that are able to counteract them?
Well, I think that some things, like, for instance, I'm a new convert for different things, you know, like I know where my meat comes from, you know, in terms of the butcher, like I know which farm it comes from in England, and I know how it's fed. So I feel like my parents probably didn't know that information when they were getting meat from the butcher or something like that. So the provenance is really important, just as it is with food. Getting from your local farmer's market is obviously locally grown and not broad and not exposed to many other things. Of course, we're always going to have pollutants, and we're never going to know exactly until after the fact which ones are the bad ones for us. So obviously, we're all trying to do what we think is best. Maybe we think, for instance, this pesticide is better or no pesticide is better, and then all of a sudden there's something else that kind of pops up. So we're always, I don't want to say we're two steps behind, but sometimes in this sort of realm, we are a little bit, you know, we think we've taken two steps forward, but actually we haven't. So
do you think pollution has more of an effect on our skin than we realize?
I think pollution has more of an effect on everything than we realize. I think environmental stressors are really high up there. I think pollution is one of the reasons why in developed cities you have more risk of having different kinds of cancers. Is it a cause and effect? I don't know. Is it because you live in a polluted city, or is it because of everything else that comes with living in a city like that? So, of course, pollution affects the ozone too. So having less protection against the UV rays is also hugely damaging. We know that's the biggest skin aggressor from the environment. So I do think that pollution will always be high up there. It's just knowing which ones are the best shields to use.
And funnily enough, I think the one area that will be a growth area for next year in terms of research actually does connect the sort of scientific world with the clean beauty world. And that's this growing area of research about the skin-mind connection. So I think we're just learning about the effect that your mental well-being can have on your skin.
Of course.
And whether that's to do with your kind of how positive you're feeling when you're applying
well,
your face cream.
Well, it comes right back to she's glowing.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
I mean, that's where the glow comes from, is supposed to come from within. So
yeah.
I believe that if you're having a good day, and I hate that word resting bitch face, I really hate it, but you have the same person who comes in and they're smiling and the same person who's not, you know.
I was looking at Instagram this morning, and I'm mostly, as you know, off Instagram, but I had to go on it for some, I'm going to pretend, reason or other. And anyway, I saw pictures.
We all want to know why she was on.
Yeah, exactly.
But I saw a picture of a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, taking a sort of selfie, as she's, you know, prone to, looking so bloody miserable. And I thought, what is it with these kind of miserable selfies on Instagram? So weird. And I was thinking, people should just stop with the sort of, don't I look...
The pose.
Angular and yes, and that pose, and give me a bit of cheekbone, but kind of try and look really miserable while you're doing it. I just think we should have like sort of like, I don't know, selfie happy day or something, because enough with the miserable faces.
Well, the thing is that when you smile, you tend to not have the angularity, so you don't have the sharp jawline.
So over the angular, miserable selfie.
Start a movement, Fee.
You know who we're talking about.
I feel like the younger ones do that. That go have got kind of the opposite, and they go. Well, they use all those filters now with like bunny ears and things to make themselves look goofy.
Yeah, but that's
because they don't want to smile. So they're it's a weird.
Well, Instagram, it's the devil spawn. You know, I think that.
So why were you on Instagram today?
Why was I on Instagram? You know what's awful is that I'd been off Instagram, as you know, for a really long time, and I went back on it for some reason or other, which probably has no good backup. And within a week, I found myself almost kind of clicking on Instagram as I woke up in the morning instead of reading the paper. It took a week to get back into every bad habit that I felt I'd lost.
And that's
like breaking a diet.
And that's a bit like we're saying, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? About, I just think ultimately, a jar of face cream is such a lovely thing, whether it's a clean one or a sciencey one or whatever it is. And coupled with that idea of just doing this lovely ritual for yourself, doesn't matter really what you're using. I think just enjoy that
face cream. But I think that's all of life. Take care of your eating, take care of your exercise, if you must, Mariam. And then every now and then have steak and chips, because that you also can have that. Or you can, we all had shortbread biscuits in here earlier. Very nice too.
And my thing about face cream is that it is kind of an act of faith in the future, right? Because you're using it today in order to look better tomorrow. It's not like a lipstick, which is just instant. That's why they say hope in a jar, I guess, because you're going
to
use it and then reap the benefits.
I do some things at nighttime, and then if I do them, I know that I'm going to look better in the morning.
What things?
Like what?
Yeah, like different masks or peels or the treatments and stuff.
Which mask?
It depends for what. So like if I have, even from the high street, you know, like I love Aven. They have a hydrating mask. And if I'm feeling very dehydrated, I tell my patients a lot of times, because I don't like to toot my own products all the time, is that I do love this product because, you know, you sleep in it instead of taking it off, use it as a cream, and actually it does help.
The Aven mask.
Same with my Replenish and Restore. It's filled with stem cells and placenta, and I just think it's so rich that when I wake up, my lips are nice and plump, and my everything just looks more plump.
And the other thing I think about that is that you have to do some kind of resurfacing, exfoliating.
Of course.
So I think that's the mistake people often make. That's a good thing you can do the night before you want to look great, I think, because it will help everything sink in better.
Well, one, it gets rid of all the grime, pollution, makeup, whatever's sitting on your face. And then it does allow for better penetration. That's why cleansing is so important. So cleansing is the number one thing that you do every day when you come home. I know Fia is looking at me with these eyes like, what, a cleanse?
No, but I'm thinking, because I never say no to a goodie here. But so, and we very rarely promote Mariam skincare here, because we've made a real commitment to kind of try and keep it all a bit open. But you have just launched this thing, which is a new thing, which I quite fancy, which is a vitamin infused facial treatment mask.
Yes.
So tell me, is that
it's kind of like miso and it's basically
a
minerals
and box. I want it.
You can have it, Fee.
Oh, thank you. I hate to ask.
Yeah, I can see. You're very shy.
I couldn't possibly. Thank you. It's just going in the bag.
But basically, it's a red mask. It's really nice and soothing for any inflammation on the skin, especially if you have rosacea. It has lots of different minerals, and it's basically like having miso without having the needle and needle punctures inside of it. So it's very hydrating, soothing, anti-inflammatory, and the only caveat is that you can only use it once. But there's five in there. You can have all five.
Thank you.
Once a week.
Yeah, you know, I always say the masks, these home masks, are something that you do when you feel you need them. So if you're somebody who likes to, I think one of the beautiful things about doing these masks, which truthfully I prefer the kinds of cream masks, so I love like Radiance and Renewal for exfoliation, but everybody loves these masks because it gives them 10, 15 minutes to sit down and do nothing.
I was thinking, is that a whole episode of The Crown? That's what I want. I want a mask that's an episode of The Crown, or
you can keep it. I didn't know what you meant.
Show, my
okay, so you can keep it on for the whole episode of The Crown.
Okay. So, Nick, what did you put on your face this morning? And don't worry about upsetting Mariam. She can take it.
I don't get upset. She's one out of how many thousands of skincare brands out there.
So, I've been using this cream by Augustin Espada. I think that's how you say his name. And it's quite a scientific one. He's a, much like Mariam, I think, a medical practitioner who's also done a lot of research into skin. I've just noticed really good effects. I mean, I hear people talk about it all the time, and normally with my beauty director hat on, I'm so cynical about anything that's being really hyped. And I used it. One thing that I could really tell the difference was that I've got this little scar on my nose from having a basal cell carcinoma removed a few years ago, and it really annoys me, and it's just right in that spot where it looks like I used to have an earring in there, which I definitely didn't. And
and
it's almost gone. So I feel like, okay, if it's doing that on that little scar, what's it doing to the rest of my face? So that's my current obsession.
I've used that. I've tried that. You got me onto it, actually. Mm-hmm. And I really like his skin cream as well. So it's interesting. At the end of all this, I think it's fascinating. And I didn't turn away from science just because I wrote about somebody who's into clean beauty. But I think there's room for everything, like in life, you know, I think complementary is the answer and the way forward.
Definitely. I think it's just about being open to everything.
I think the one thing that all of this has brought in is the importance of education and learning about your skincare and what's going on. And I think just as a brand owner, I think what I love is that people are so much more in tune with what they're using on their skin. They read what the actives are. They have access to information. And I think that can only empower you. And I also think it's important, just as a caveat, is that less is sometimes more. You don't need to put like 25 different ingredients on your face in order to have like flawless skin. I think you have to find a few core products and ingredients that work well for your type of skin and to stick to them.
That's really good advice, I think.
And to stick to them for at least, you know, 6 weeks. So you're never going to use a cream and the next day be like, oh my God, this was amazing. And if it is, it's probably more in your head.
Yeah, do you think that's about 6 weeks?
You really need to use a product for 6 weeks to really be able to ascertain whether or not it's a good product for your skin.
Deep nodding from Nicola.
Yes. And find an SPF, I think, always, that you really like to wear every day, because I think it's quite hard to find one.
How do you know when you really like an SPF?
Well, I think because often they can be a little bit greasy or a bit chalky and you don't feel good about wearing them. You don't mind them on holiday, but you don't feel good about using them every day. So I think find one that you feel like is just a good one to wear under makeup every day and wear it every day.
God, you're very clever, Nick.
She is indeed.
Isn't she clever, both of you?
But we knew that.
Please note, huge silence on my end this podcast.
Very clever.
But Nick, thank you. I wouldn't be anything without you, Nick. We all know that. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for coming.
I love talking about face cream.
And come and listen to us next week on The Guinea Pig.
Bye.
Bye.
The Guinea Pig provides unbiased information to those who may be considering cosmetic surgery or even trialling a non-invasive treatment or product. We do not endorse the use of any product or procedure featured in this podcast and are not responsible for the outcome of any of the treatments featured on this podcast or damage caused in connection with any treatments or products. Should you decide to try any of the procedures, treatments or products mentioned in any episode of The Guinea Pig, you do so at your own risk. Always consult an independent and fully qualified medical professional if you are considering embarking on a medical procedure, irrespective of whether it's an invasive or non-invasive procedure.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.